How's it going, Internet Land? This is Wes Gardner, host of Brothering Around, and our friends over at Amazon got a website for you to get you a free audiobook. If you go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, you get a free 30-day trial to Audible, their video, you know, online bookstore deal they got going. The audiobooks, they read them to you. But hey, if you go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, you can choose a free audiobook to keep forever and get 30 days free. So just get on it, man. Tell them your boys from Brothering Around sent you at audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Oh, back at it again. The two OGs.
Two Live Crew.
So what would we be wearing if we were Two Live Crew? Can you imagine?
I'm just thinking like ECW, the Dudley Boys, like overalls and
tie-dye shirts
and like
black frame glasses with the tape in the middle of it.
And like one of us is stuttering. Yeah.
Oh, that was such a bad gimmick. Like, kind of genius, but still just, oh. Yeah.
And everybody hated them.
Oh, dude, they had real heat. They had, like, yeah, man. People were going to stab them out in the parking lot heat.
Yeah.
But the stuff they would say to crowds, oh, like.
Yeah, it was unreal.
It was actual, like, hateful, vile shit, and it made me laugh every time.
Yeah,
every single time, because I was like, you can't say things like that to a crowd. Everyone right. Go on YouTube, search up Dudley Boy, Dudley Boy, yeah, ECW promo something.
Yeah.
Oh, or like heckler or something, because that's basically what they did to the crowd. They just heckled. It was a reverse. Yep. Like the crowd would try to get one over on them, and they were like, no, we're going to roast you out in the middle of the ring. This big, violent Philly crowd gets all behind it. It's amazing. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I'm Wes Gardner, Commie to Hobo. And over there, who's this gentleman? Who's this?
Yeah, I'm back.
That's it, man. This dude doing amazing martial arts in the Philippines.
You know, after coming back, the entire world casts it slow on me. So I am still like jet lagged.
Oh, I bet, dude.
Worn out.
Dude, you were gone for a month? Like almost a month?
3 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks and plus 3 weeks, three plus weeks, three weeks and some days.
Wow.
I went to the Philippines with my family and, I had a good time.
Good.
But to be honest with you, after a week and a half, I was ready to go home.
You're done. You're kind of,
I was done. Yeah.
So what was your favorite kind of part of it?
My favorite part of it. So we went to a couple resorts each of those weeks. So we went to one week and then we went to another week. But it was just so much of like going out, because the situation for this trip was that like me and my wife stayed with my dad's like family or my dad's house. In one area of the Philippines, and then my mom's side, my mom and my aunt, they went to go to her side to spend time for the entire trip. So we weren't all together the entire time.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's weird, but like, I mean, I guess because they tend to fly separately every year, every time they go to the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's how they work it out. So like my dad doesn't go out. He's busy working on the house and doing whatever, but he doesn't go out. So like if we wanted to go out, we would have to go to my mom's side, which is like an hour drive to get there.
Yeah.
So we were going to my mom's side like almost like every other day, just to be out the house and you know just spend time with the family. So yeah, that was a thing. And like in terms of driving. It's really, really busy and trafficky and a lot of people, way too many people like on the streets and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Because like we were in like a pretty lively, I would say, like, not so much city, maybe like a town area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's walking, everybody's like barely grazing, almost getting hit by cars, but like that's how it is over there.
Right, there's right? fearless.
Yeah, and like jeeps, long jeeps, and like tricycles, basically like a bike and a sidecar, basically rule like the streets, because there's more of those than there are cars.
Right? Gotcha.
So everybody's working. A lot of people, like everybody's either they're working, you know, driving like taxi, Uber style type thing, mm-hmm. or they have their own shop at their house, you know, selling like, you know, snacks and what have you. So like everybody in that area is working. So like that's another thing, like kind of threw me off compared to what I see at home, where, you know, you go to a block and it's just a bunch of homes. But in the Philippines,
sure,
like a block, you go to a block and like you'll see like a store every other house, or like,
oh, interesting. So the whole thing is like a big farmer's market, almost.
Yeah, basically. So yeah, that was interesting and weird. Driving there, I mean, like that was another thing in itself, because like we had to drive in the streets. So that's why it took like an hour to get to my mom's side.
Wow, yeah.
Because the freeway over there acts like a toll bridge. So when you enter a freeway, you have to get a ticket.
Okay.
And then you go on the freeway, you drive wherever you need to drive, and when you exit, you submit your ticket, and then you pay the fee.
Oh, for how long you've been like, on it.
How long you've been on the freeway. Gotcha. So right. It's like a reverse bridge in a sense. So like you won't see as many cars on the freeway because they're all driving on the streets because they don't want to pay toll to get to wherever they need to get to. So like that was weird in itself. But the freeway, of course, the freeway is the fastest way to get to wherever you want to go. But
gotcha. And that ticket money, like for the freeway itself, does that pay for mm-hmm. the upkeep of the freeway? Do you know, like, is that?
I guess I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
So it's probably a toll, kind of the same idea as a toll thing, because toll roads are beautiful. Like you mm-hmm. go on those and you're like, oh man, it's like riding on one of those nice rubber wheel roller coasters. It just like coasts along, and then you go on like the main interstates, like I-95 or I-35, and it's a fucking rodeo. Like your car shakes you out of it. You know what I mean? They're always just building on it.
Yeah, so that's interesting in itself. So like, yeah, we didn't go to many places. Like I said, we went to like two resorts in each of the weeks. So like that definitely helped. But like after that, we went to like a couple malls, and then their malls are like super malls compared to ours over here. Because like it's like you know, when you go to a mall over there, you can go. Their grocery store is inside the mall, and their theater is inside the mall. So like. A lot of the malls either like three or four stores high already, and then there's a bunch of stores that, you know, you can go to and, you know, shop till you whatever. Like compared to our malls, at least compared to our malls in my area, like they're huge. There was one mall I wanted to go to, but we weren't able to go to. But we did pass it by. But like I wanted to go to the Mall of Asia. Which is in Manila. Basically, it's a mega mall compared to the other malls in the Philippines in that area. Because the one thing I heard with that mall, other than the fact that it's bigger than the other malls in that area, is that they have a gondola inside.
Oh,
like,
man.
You know, like in Italy, you know, like at the boats, people driving you or steering, you know, with boats. But they have it inside the mall. I was like, what the hell? That's crazy. I want to see that. You know, but we didn't get to do that because Manila is very, very hectic and congested and busy. That's where the city is, and that's where it was a culture shock for me. This because it's been like a long time since I've been to the Philippines, so I'm used to like, you know, like our sizes like houses and apartments. Where when I'm over there, like everybody's living in whatever they got, like either it's like a shanty or like a shack, or like I was seeing houses on roads where they just decided to build right there, and
Oh, wow.
They just wanted to live there. I was like, oh, wow, you could just do that here.
Yeah, right. You don't need to bring out like a land lease or anything. You just kind of build up what you want.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy over there.
That's wild.
But yeah, like, that was me in the Philippines. And the reason I was like, man, I got to do something because like my diet went out the window over there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, you just had to eat, right? And I was eating my like basically a lot of my favorite foods. But the downside of that was like there's no restriction on diet and stuff. So I was like, oh well, I'm just eating my heart out, basically.
Literally, yeah. <we're>,
yeah. So like, yeah, my diet went out the window, and so that's why I was doing a bunch of those training like posts on Instagram, because like I needed to work out somehow. And you know, it's over there right now, it's just starting to become a heat wave. When I was over there, it was already hot. It was like in like upper 80s and 90s. But by the time I was leaving, that's when it was starting to become their summer. It's like, geez, I can't even imagine it being like the 100 and whatever, you know, every single day. But that's why I did the training videos. Like part of that was like just me being bored. Another part of that is just, you know, just because I'm on vacation, sure, but like I need to be active at the same time.
Sure.
People were enjoying it. I'm glad people were enjoying it.
Yeah, and how rad is that story that you get to say that, yeah, you trained martial arts in the Philippines?
Right.
It's like one of those stories, right? You just tell when you're 70, you're like, yeah, you know what I did in the Philippines? They don't got to know that you just did like, you know, your basic workout. But I trained in the Philippines, and they're like, whoa. Oh, no,
I fought like blue bisons over there.
All the moose.
The moose
from the Philippines, you had to wrestle them down.
Yeah.
A lot happened over there. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, that's pretty much my trip.
Heck, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well,
it was
we're fun. Glad to be back at the same Yeah, time. We're very glad you're back. We had the
show
with Todd and Vamp, which was
pretty
stellar, pretty cool. Wacky. Then I did something out the wazoo that we talked about before you left. That I would do a live stream, and I think people freaked out whenever it actually happened. So got back in the streamer chair for a night, one night only, and then did that. Got a big turnout. I don't even know how many live viewers I had. But it was all the old, like old hat, like old school hobo nation. Mm-hmm. Everyone showing up in full blast.
That's good, man. That's awesome.
It was crazy. And then the week after I did my, I think, yeah, the week after did I do my Kami log, the coffee talk thing?
I believe
thing?
You did.
I think so. One of those.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, it was funny. People were harping back on when is Marco coming back to do the podcast? And I was like, you know, Marco does other things besides just this podcast in his life, right? Just he does he you know job things and you know life stuff.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, but whenever he gets back, be sure to do the podcast. It's like we got to do it. Yes.
I'm glad. I'm happy that there is a demand there.
The people need their people's champ. See, I know there's already in Street Fighter. I know there's already Filipino champ, but we're gonna make you actual Filipino champ. If that's what that is.
Oh, dude, I played that guy in local tournaments because he's from the Bay Area too.
Oh yeah,
No, he's no joke. He's Filipino champ for a reason. He's Filipino champ for a reason. Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, it's funny. Right before we started recording, you said you were really tired, and I was like, I've been really tired too. And I don't know, spring break just like whooped my ass. Because I am a creature of habit. I like waking up at a certain time. I like, you know, doing whatever and kind of planning what my afternoon's going to be like.
Me too. I'm a creature of routine.
And the older I get, the more I want that structure. Like beforehand, I mean, back in the day, started Nitro Beard and stuff, you couldn't, like, you probably experienced this too with like trying to email me and stuff. Like I never responded to anything because I was just like, super willy-nilly and never knew what every day had in store. But now that I'm older, I don't know what that is, but I'm like, I don't got time for this shit. Like I need to figure out what my day is going to be, you know, when is this going to happen? Let me schedule it. Like, let me open up my Outlook calendar and see if I have, I'm doing all the old man things. App. Yeah. Right. So bad. It's like, that's how you know you're getting old though, too. You start just scheduling every aspect of your life.
That's a part of me that I don't want to cross, because when I start doing that, then I'm like, yeah, this is the other half of my life starting now.
Yeah, right. Now you've made it over the crest and now it's just downhill. Yeah. I think I'm on the tip top, like peering over the edge, you know, before I make that downward spiral of me just listening to like Barry Manilow. And I'm going to get so much hate mail for that. Yeah. I'm trying to think of any like random stuff. Oh yeah, I'm starting to play guitar again.
I've heard.
That's something good, that I haven't done in years. But it's fun. Yeah. It's fun. I'm at the point now that I'm older, so I realize how bad I am at it. Like beforehand I was like, I know how to do four things on the guitar. I'm awesome. And then, you know, I could convince people that I was decent at it, even though I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I was good to somebody that had no idea, like, what a guitar was. Like, that's who I was good at. You know, like, wow, this guy's great.
There's an audience there, though.
I get, yeah. But apparently,
catered to that audience.
I did. I found my niche, and then I kind of, it's like, hey, do you know what this thing is? And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, perfect. Listen to me play it.
Yeah.
And then, but now, if any actual guitar player heard me, they're like, he's a very beginner duder. And that's fine. Yeah. Everyone starts somewhere. You got to suck in order to get good. But now I've decided, okay, I'm going to do my scales. I'm going to treat this like it's an actual like college class. I'm going to study it and figure out what the circle of fifths and music theory and do all that. But as you know, and it's funny because...
So what's your goal there? You're starting to play again.
Yeah.
Is there a goal to that?
I don't think so. And I think that makes it even more weird. It's like, it's the same thing with art. Like I got way back into art. Like I need to really get good at art. And then if somebody asks me why, I'm like, I don't know. I should just do that. That's a thing I should go do. I mean, and these are the type of things you could make money at it. Like if you're good at an instrument, you could be a troubadour or whatever, and like just go do open mic nights and whatever. Or, you know, with art, you can do commission work and do it that way, sort of like graphic design. But like, I have no interest in any of those things. Like, I don't want to go out to make money doing this. I'm like, oh, I just need, this is self-development, you know?
Yeah. But that's interesting, because right now, coming back from the vacation, went to Muay Thai on Monday, and then went to boxing today.
Yeah.
Talking to my boy at DJ's, Estella's Martial Arts, the place I go to. He had posters of like flyers of tournaments posted, right? And I'm looking at them. I was like, oh yeah, you guys are doing tournament. That's cool. And then he's just telling me, he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, we're doing this, like this, basically this circuit. And yeah, we're going to be doing like, you know, open sparring and like continuous sparring and grappling, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. And like, you know, after we had practice, and I'm like, and I get to thinking, I feel like I'm having an itch to wanting to get back into tournaments, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, when is your, like, I was asking, like, when is your next one? Like, oh, it's like March 25th. Like if I'm fully committing with this, like, I feel like I'm not going to be ready enough for that one.
Sure.
Like, when's the next one? Maybe. But he's telling me about, like, yeah, you should join, man. We'll get you. You know, we do like open sparring on Fridays, and like we get you geared up and stuff. And yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be cool if you can join. And like, man, dude, you're convincing me.
you're selling it.
At the very minute, I'm like, oh man, you're selling to me. I was like, yeah, do I actually want to? Because last time I fought blind, because I was doing Taekwondo sparring.
Yeah.
Back in the day, but I didn't have like glasses for it or like goggles for it.
So
I was basically fighting
blind,
which was like a total mistake, because like, you know, I basically lost all fights, but because I was blind, part of it was I was blind, but at the same time, like I was just a teenager not being confident enough at the same time.
Right. Not so really now understanding what it is. Yeah.
I can see now, and I'm like, okay, I know what I can do and maybe what I cannot do. Do I want to do that again? So I'm like, I'm debating about it because I'm like, I can either go maybe do some boxing, maybe do some fights, or maybe get into Muay Thai and do some fights that way, or what? But I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I'm just, my interest is piqued at the thought of
doing
some tournaments before like I fully stop with doing tournaments or whatever. But that's where I'm at right now. I'm like, maybe I just want to practice. I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting because I say go for it. Like, because then, I mean, you're going to come at it from a different angle this time. So I think it'd be worth it just to see, because you never know. Like, you never know. And I'm saying all this about, I don't really have an end game. But if there was, they had something locally around here, and especially we're right near Austin, which is like crazy music capital that's not Nashville. If I got pretty solid and they had like, there's a local thing that they have every year called Guitarmageddon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I could join up Guitarmageddon and show a few people what's up. Like, I could, I don't think I would win because I'm not a virtuoso. Yeah. And some of these kids that are like 14 and 15. But it's like you 15,
have that itch for whatever reason.
Yeah. Just
now that you're starting these things, they're starting the art and starting guitaring again.
Yeah. Right? I guess it's, and you might feel the same way. It's this certain drive of like, wanting the respect of the people that really know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so if you went to the tournament, you know your boys there, they fight in the tournaments a lot. They, you know, that's part of their culture. They get in there, they're very competitive with it, and they understand to be their best. They need to judge themselves based on other people, but they know it. They know the technique behind tournament fighting. They know the nuance. So then you go to it and you do well, and then you've earned respect of people that have been there. Like, that's a pretty good feeling. So like, if I went out there and I like, you know, shredded my heart out or whatever, and then people that I looked up to on guitar were like, hey man, you're pretty good, I'd be like, oh shit. Yeah. Like, it might just be worth that little moment. Like, no money on the line, no big stakes, but just that kind of like nod of like, you're one of us, sort of. You've passed that threshold. You're no longer a novice. You're no longer, you know, you're actually part of this now. Because, I think in a weird way, I guess that's how it felt whenever we did like Twitch and stuff, is you start getting, you know, hosted by these people that do it for a living.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wait, maybe they see the same thing. And me that they had, you know, you start getting that sort of wind under your sails. It's a good feeling. It's a good rush because it doesn't, you know, really all this is self-improvement. I guess that could be said for everything. But it's nice to know that your effort is being acknowledged by people who are experienced doing it.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and speaking on that, let's tie into game reviews, because we've had experience talking about video games. We're the young grizzled vets. Young grizzled vets of talking about video games.
Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Shit, dude, I'm so excited. I don't even know what that is, but I saw Rusev and Lana dressed like hillbillies. Yeah. I saw Chris Jericho with a weird like Albert Einstein wig on. John Cena.
Luke Gallows apparently is doing one of his characters that they do in Talking Shop. Oh, like, I'm pretty excited to see that.
Oh, that's so good. I hope it's I hope one of them. Don't they do what's his name? The announcer.
Say that again.
Oh, Howard Finkel. They do the Fink.
They do the Fink, yeah. Lou Gallows does the Fink. I've been seeing a lot of comments saying that it's Sex Ferguson. I don't know.
Shit.
I
mean,
I heard the name. They've been mentioning the name before in other Talking Jericho, Talking Shop podcast, but like, I don't know who Sex Ferguson is. So like, I'm interested. You know.
Oh, those names.
Carl Anderson and Lou Gallows being silly. Like, I'm always up for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cena's down. And like, dude, that's great.
Yeah, Cena's down. And then you got Cesaro as his...
Cesaro's doing something.
Yeah. As his Gorilla Monsoon style stuff. So, yeah, I'm stoked. I don't even know what it is. Hopefully, I bet it's a weekly show. I hope it's a weekly show. So. And they build up... And I kind of hope they never have a wrestling match. It's just backstage promos.
Backstage and promos. And
they get someone to be like Gene Okerlund to call it out. And that'd be so
good. I was actually surprised Big E didn't have any sort of appearance in it.
Big E's been on a roll lately, man.
Because Big E is gif-able anyway himself, right?
For sure.
I think I saw a gif of... I think it was the past Raw where I think Mick Foley was walking by.
Yes.
He just basically like just flashed the camera and like he was looking like he was feeling himself. Like, I don't know what like Kofi and Xavier were doing. But
the best thing.
I think he was just exposing himself just because.
It was a super serious moment. And the thing is, because Mick Foley was essentially going out there to fire somebody.
Right.
And everyone was really somber and low key. And then he walked by and I saw Big E's chest. He was just like flaunting it. I burst out laughing. Yeah. Oh, it was out of nowhere too. Because even the commentators were like, oh, Mick's on the way to the ring. What's going to happen? And then you see Big E flash everybody. Dude, the past year and a half or so, he's been on fire. And like at Fastlane, he sang. Mm-hmm. Randy Orton's theme song. They were asking him like the opinion of the crowd, and he was like, the voices in my head, they talk to me, they understand. And people were looking at him like, what?
Oh man, who was I remember I was thinking back of I think they were in the ring, and it might have been like Triple H in his music. So like it cut to the New Day and they were like guitar, they're playing like air guitar because of Triple H. I think it was Triple H's entrance, but like they're doing it, and the camera got a glimpse of like the New Day just doing air guitar because of like the guitar riffs and stuff. That's what I want in my wrestling.
Absolutely, and that's what I want. One of my favorite Big E moments lately is whenever they talked about the draft. Whenever the draft was happening, and then they announced that Raw was going to get Finn Balor. And Finn Balor walks out with his leather jacket. He has that whole look to it. And if you look in the background, Big E pops his collar just like Finn Balor and does like the little open strut thing. You have to look for it. But whenever he does it, it's so funny because all of the other guys. And it's funny because half the roster, like you've never seen more dudes. I fuck another dude. But that's, because he comes out with this leather jacket, this Armani model. Yeah. And then Big E just riffs on him. Oh, it's so funny. Oh,
man, I gotta look for that.
Oh, it's so good. I might look it up here in a second. But yeah, Big E is a treasure. Like they...
Yeah.
And I think New Day is getting Hall of Fame. Like at the end of their careers, they're so good they have to be Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that induction speech. By the way, like whatever, whatever they have to talk about.
Older New Day.
Oh my god! Slightly cynical New Day. Like, so good.
And there's Big E still exposing his chest and stuff, dude.
but we got way off track. But with game reviews.
That's brethren around.
Oh, brethren around. We're just brethren around. It's fine. So these game reviews. I bring this up because two main things. One, Zelda came out, and apparently that is the bee's knees. I've yet to play it. I was going to get the Wii U version. I haven't got it yet. I haven't had time to play a lot of games, so I didn't want to just buy it and have it sitting there. But I definitely plan on buying it. And, those reviews are unbelievable. Like, people calling it the best game of the past decade. And then some people, a lot of websites says it's the best Zelda game ever made. And
interesting.
I'm like, excuse me, you got Link to the Past, you got Ocarina of Time, you got Minish Cap, you got some games in that lineup, and these people are serious, and they're like, no, this is the best Zelda game ever made. Mm-hmm. Like, good Lord. Like, what magic pixie dust do they sprinkle on this thing to, what I mean, to get it going? But so you have that. And then next week you have Mass Effect Andromeda coming out, which, I'm excited for. I like me some Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2, I think that's one hell of a game. If I were to look back at, like, last generation, quote unquote, and be like, what's my game of the generation? Mass Effect 2 is probably up, definitely in the top three, but it might be number one. Because Mass Effect 2 was just genius.
We talked about that before.
Yeah. Just a genius game. And Mass Effect 3, it kind of blundered a little bit. But even a bad Mass Effect game is a very good game. Mm-hmm. That's one of those series, right? It's kind of like Yakuza, in my opinion. Like, a bad Yakuza game is still a whole lot of fun. So now Mass Effect Andromeda is coming out. We're hearing mixed things. There's a lot of preview stuff. I think the embargo lifts on Monday of next week, because the game comes out Tuesday. So they're lifting the embargo on Monday, but reviewers are allowed to give a preview about the first 5 hours.
Right.
And mixed bag. We're getting some people that say they absolutely cannot stand it, that they think the game is actually not good. As in, just, it doesn't play well. But the writing is terrible. The voice acting is really bad. And, like, all I've seen is just video footage and, like, you know, gameplay videos and all that stuff. But, the voice acting is pretty bad. I'm not even a big stickler for that, because I love me some Japanese role-playing games that have the worst voice acting you'll ever hear. Right. But this is just, it's like, it's so bad, it's uncomfortable. And I tweeted a deal. I retweeted something, and I said, I'm excited for Mass Effect, but man, this voice acting is not good. And the video that I posted, it shows some combat, and they're like, oh, watch your six and all that stuff. And that's fine. I think that type of dialogue is hokey anyway. But it was really whenever your party, like, goes up to a quest giver. Or somebody, or like a follow-up part of a quest. What it sounds like is, it sounds like they're all doing Shakespeare in the Park, and that they're all recording it in isolation. So it's not that you have the whole cast in one big room and you're recording them live, which is how I think that should be done. Because it's more natural. It's just people talking. Like, okay, imagine if we did this podcast and I recorded an hour of dialogue, and then Marco recorded an hour of dialogue, and then I jumbled them together. Like, that would be terrible. And that's what this Mass Effect sounds like. It sounds like they had an actor that read 4,000 lines of dialogue by themselves, completely away from humankind, and they saved it on their hard drive, and then they brought in the other actor that read their lines completely separately, and then you try to mash them together. So you get these weird tonal inconsistencies where it's like, so you know how graphics have uncanny valley where, it looks real, but it just sums off and it's kind of creepy. Like, that's what the voice acting sounds like. It sounds like, they're acting and they're doing the voice and they're reading it from a script, but it genuinely feels like something's kind of wrong. Because imagine if someone said a line really sad and then someone responded really happy, and it didn't really make sense. It's like, I can't believe what happened to Shepard. And they're like, boy, Hattie, we better get out there. Like, you're like,
I know, it's the saddest thing in my life.
I can't believe it. It's a tragedy. Like, like, just very yokel and just something's off with it. Like, and I can't quite. And, you know, for some people, it may not be that kind of dissonant. It may not have that effect on some people. But as I was listening, I think the game looks gorgeous. They're using the Frostbite engine, the same engine that they use for, like, Battlefield.
Yeah.
So I think it looks beautiful. And I was like, I want to play that because I want to go to these places. I want to explore. I want to run around. But that voice acting, man, it really feels like it feels like these are high school actors and they're reading their lines, trying to get onto like Disney Junior or something.
Yes. Disney XD.
Yeah, XD. They're like they're trying to be the B team for Teen Titans or something.
Yeah.
And it's and I love Teen Titans, but it's like it doesn't have that jovial charm. Someone, a reviewer said that Mass Effect for the first 5 hours feels like if somebody heard about Mass Effect, they didn't play it, they didn't see it, they heard about what Mass Effect was, and then they got it published by the CW. So like the TV network that does, you know, Smallville and
right.
So
all the DC shows.
Yeah, exactly. So it feels like a CW show, but someone explained Mass Effect and then someone made a thing that they thought like, what would a robot think love is? You know, like what that sort of, you know, how can you explain to an alien how pudding tastes? You know, it's like a weird, like, how do you do that? So, but that's why it feels kind of disconnected. It's like, I guess this is Mass Effect, sort of, but it's like someone's impression of what they think Mass Effect would have been. Yeah. Like, the alien kind of makes what it might think pudding tastes like. Like, here's my best shot. I guess this might be pudding?
Yeah.
But so far, but the thing about the reviews, okay, so people are saying these things. It's kind of a mixed bag. The freaking comment sections on these websites because of this, they're war zones. And they're war zones filled with people that don't understand what a review is. So I'll break it down. Marco, you chime in too.
Yeah.
A review is a specific person's preference on how they view an experience. That's it. That's a review. That is what a review is. It is the reviewer saying what they liked and what they didn't and their thoughts. That's a review.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these kids want... We dealt with this in Nitrobeard when we started trying to do game reviews. We're talking to Metacritic, all this stuff. They wanted an objective review, not a subjective review where it's subject to the person reviewing it. They wanted an objective review, meaning it had no personal qualities and it was just a list of game features. So... My review of Mass Effect Andromeda, I haven't even played it yet, but I could give you an objective review right now. This is a video game published in 2017.
Yeah.
You can play this on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. It has voice acting.
Yeah.
There are graphics. That's an objective review. Congrats.
You can have relationships.
Yeah, yeah. 8.7 out of 10. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, that's what, that's an objective review.
Yeah.
But you'll never see those people yelling if the quote-unquote review or the preview or whatever is positive. It's people go into reviews with this weird sort of like, they don't really care what the reviewer has to say. They just want the reviewer's opinion to line up with the one they already made up before they got there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's how you should approach reviews. Because, like, my favorite reviewer of all time on anything is Roger Ebert. That man was a genius reviewer. And the reason why is he could review something and say he couldn't stand it. He was like, I hated this movie, and here's why I hated it. And I can read his review and be like, oh, I'll love that movie. You know, you can see that difference in he gave me his opinion, but he gave it to me so well, I will still know if I will like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't have to do with, oh, Roger Ebert didn't like it, so I guess I'm not allowed to like it. It was, he was so good at articulating ideas that stuff he could find, or stuff he found great, I could read that review and I'll be like, God, that movie sounds terrible. you couldn't pay me to go see that movie. But that's the job of a reviewer, is to inform the audience of what their thoughts are on a product.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And it's been like this forever. Like, even us during the whole, like, back in the day of videogames.com and, you know, Cheat Code Central, and back when GameFAQs was the one internet forum for video games on the entire internet. That's how it always has been. So people would yell that, you know, Super Metroid, you know, some guy didn't like Super Metroid, so they're going to yell at him.
Yeah.
It's like, get over it, man. People have different opinions about the stuff. I think that's good. I think the fact that it has wildly differing opinions is good. I think it actually works in Mass Effect's favor, because now you have to play it to see for yourself.
You have to know, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to know yourself. That's the thing for me with reviewers is I'm like, I personally like the old school EGM for people review the game.
Mm-hmm.
You had like the specialist for that genre. And then the rest is like, yeah, you know, pretty open to it. And then maybe the other two like just are not into the genre at all.
Yeah.
Like I was really into those type of reviews, like, cause I got all differing like
yes.
opinions and sides from all of that. And on the other side of that is, a part of me can't stand reviews where, like, say, for instance, the God Hand IGN one review, where they got a guy to review God Hand, but he can't stand beat 'em ups, right?
Yeah.
And gives it a terrible score, and then it feels like it's IGN stand, like, oh, so this reviewer that can't stand beat 'em ups and thinks it's repetitive and all that gives it a low score, but that's IGN's score for that game. And,
sure.
You know, people would like ape shit about that, right?
Right.
I get it. I get it. Differing opinions to get like the different sides and all that. But for me, I would like to hear somebody's review that have like knowledge, say, of the genre or the game or the
right. They don't necessarily. Series, right? Yeah, they don't have to like it per se, mm-hmm. but they can't outright dislike it, because now you're setting yourself
don't,
up.
Don't dismiss it, because then it's like, what's the point of that review?
Bingo. Yeah.
If you're just going to dismiss every single thing and.
Yeah, because then you could work at it back. Yeah, the backwards rhetoric of it is, okay, here's a guy that hates beat-em-ups and he gave it a terrible score, which means it's an awesome beat-em-up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, this guy that hates this genre hates this game. It means it's great, because if you like beat-em-ups, you're going to love the game that the guy that hates beat-em-up hates. Like,
and that was basically the reaction was like, dude, why did that company pick that guy to review the game if he can't stand it?
Yeah.
Like, dude, I kind of want to hear what the quality, the good quality parts of it is. And like, I want to hear somebody that can pinpoint what's not so great about that game to let me know. Like, hey, yeah, these parts of it was not so great. But I totally get the opinions, but like, don't put somebody that just totally dismisses a genre or whatnot to review that kind of game.
Or someone that's not good. Yeah, it's like, and that's what's always tricky is, like, what reviewer do you put onto a game like StarCraft?
Right.
Because, or you know, or even a Street Fighter game. Because there are certain depths to that. So do you want to put the person that's like an amateur fighting game community, like goes to tournaments, do you want to put that person on the Street Fighter review? Because they're going to see qualities in the game that they might be reading into. Like, they're playing it at a different level. It's almost like they're playing a different game.
They're reviewing it at a meta level where, sure. like, you know, casual Johnny here will just say, hey, oh, where's the single player? Where's the arcade mode?
Right. I can hit buttons and he does flashy things, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets interesting, right? Because you want to get somebody that knows it, but you also don't want to fall into the trap of your review saying...
Like a hype machine.
Yeah, or saying if you like, you know, we always joked about this, but if you like Yu-Gi-Oh cards, you'll love these Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah.
Like, of course you will. Like, that's not what we're asking for, right? But you'll see that all the time. You'll see, if you're a fan of the genre, I hate fan of the genre reviews. I hate them. I would, if I was their editor, I would redline that shit in a heartbeat. Because get it out of there. Because if you're a fan of the genre, you're already going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to in your review? Like, you have to set, and I guess that's the thing, is who do you want your audience to be? People that play video games is kind of a too broad of a thing, right? Like, I've always thought you needed some sort of hook. Because if you're doing it for everyone that plays video games, it's, you really fall into the trap of, well, I guess I better give it an okay score because someone might like it. Mm-hmm. Like, you start making excuses for yourself. Like, well, I don't like this, but someone could. And if they liked it, they'll really like it. Like, of course they will. Like, that doesn't even, it's a tricky, there's an art to it. There really is. And, That's why I tried it a few times and then it never stuck for me because I was like, who am I speaking to? Like, who is my actual audience? If it's Street Fighter, you know, the diehard Street Fighter people are going to buy it day one anyway. So is my audience a casual fighting game fan? But would you consider somebody like you and I that plays, you know, Mark of Wolves, are they a casual fighting game fan? Because they know, like, the differences between Street Fighter Third Strike and, you know, Second Impact.
Yeah.
So are we casual at that point just because we don't play at a tournament level? Or are we kind of inside baseball? Are we smart marks? Are we?
Yeah.
There's just so many different aspects to it. And I guess that's the part of a successful review is you have to ask who your audience is before you even start writing it. And that's why I kind of like the format, I guess, of the top 5 lists and top 10 lists and stuff. Cause it's like, one can say jack about it. Cause it's my fucking list. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And,
like,
there's people still said stuff about your list, like your missed hits and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, they did. They got on me about Overwatch. I still hear about it. What do you mean? Overwatch is perfect.
Dude. If I can be like totally 100 with you, like when I was listening to the Beercast, as much as I was enjoying listening to those podcasts, those episodes, it made like, it not rubbed me the wrong way, but like, it was making me think, like, wow, do these guys actually like video games? Because, like, I'll go like this. Like, Wes, you were the most open part. You're the most open reviewer, per se, of that group, right? I felt like. Then Brian was, like, second to that. Like, yeah, he liked pretty much the same stuff you did. But, like, I was getting the feeling, like, he had a little bias against fighting games because of, like, stuff like that. Like, that happened about, like sexual assault type of thing. I don't know. It might have been like the whole Street Fighter Cross Tekken thing, but like it stuck with him. And then he would like kind of, I felt like he would judge fighting games or the community after that. So and I'm a fighting game person, fighting game community person. So it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So like, but like, you know, I still enjoyed to hear Brian's word. And then like going down the line, you know, Emron, like he's critical, but like he has fair points.
Yeah.
Then it went down to Mark and Matt Pierce, and like, oh man, these guys, dude, they're Gran Torino, Clint Eastwood, like they don't
get off my porch.
Like, they don't like anything, and I was like, man,
Yeah.
Like when I actually hear that, like Mark or Matt actually likes something, I was like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and not only that, but you'd be amazed at how, and this is what I kind of loved about the Beardcast, is you would be amazed at how many people we would get that would comment about, I totally agree with Mark and Matt on tons of stuff. Okay. And like, not saying that they were wrong and I was right or whatever, but it's just so interesting to me. I think the most famous version of that is because, you know, I'm me. I got my opinions. I'm going to say them, and it's fine. Like, if people like to hear it, fantastic. If people don't like to hear it, fantastic. Because I think the differing opinions, I think that's good. I just, the one thing I can't, you know, never stood for is like being hateful, being cruel. Like, I just, good vibes. Like, good vibes. Yeah. Just all the way around. I've always wanted a brother around. We just didn't have a name for it then. I remember the one thing that I got the most heat for from Nitro Beard was when we talked about indie game developers. And I guess it was like Indie Game the Movie came out or something.
Okay.
And I went on a tear. And I basically said, and I'm going to like paraphrase myself. I can't remember my exact verbiage. So it may be more intense than this. But basically what my point was there is I was like, I don't want my indie game developers to be like weird, sleazy used car salesmen. You know what I mean? Like,
I think I kind of remember something here.
And like, then with the indie game, the movie, there were two indie game developers on that. The dude that made Braid and the dude that made Fez. So what's his name?
Jonathan Blow.
Yes. So, and since then, they have both made really strong, emotionally impactful, like solid games that I like. The Witness, and I mean, they make really good stuff. They're very good at what they do. But the vibe they give off, like we talk about how stuff like rubs the wrong way, that's exactly what I got from them. They felt very, at least in the movie, and maybe it was done on purpose, but it was done very smarmy.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm, you know, I think I should get the Nobel Peace Prize because my video games, like that sort of like, I just felt gross after hearing it. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, he's like, dude, you're making video games. Like, you're not curing cancer. You know, you're not, you know, splitting the atom. Like, what are you? This is small potatoes. Like, the stakes are very low. There's a lot of cool things you can do with video games, and I love them dearly. But, like, get over yourself, dude. Like, it's not that serious. And I got tons of heat, man. I think that was actually the first main batch of hate mail.
Like you betrayed them.
Seriously. Oh, what do you mean? Like, see, I'm putting on the voice now. I'm going to get more hate mail.
You are.
but it's... They were so upset with me about that. And I was like, fine, man. Like, sure, I will hear what you got to say, and I will note it. And, you know, if for some reason it offended you, if you're sticking up for someone you've never met in your entire life and wanting to, like, grandstand and hold up for, like, they're the true artists. What do you know about art type of thing?
Yeah.
And I got a lot of that. And I was like, you know what? Fine. That's a fair assessment. Like, sure. But yeah, that's what was so interesting about the Beardcast is that dynamic was so different because we had somewhat like, I think I was on more of the extreme to where the stuff I said wouldn't be offensive. At least I didn't think it was. But it was very open. It's genuinely how I felt about it. Like I would call stuff out either way. Like if someone was up their own ass, I would call them out. But also I could get up my own ass every once in a while and be like, no, I think there's something here. Like, oh, let's talk a little in depth about Cyberpunk, or let's talk more. Mm-hmm. Like I could go deeper if I wanted to, but I wanted to keep it breezy. I wanted to keep it like, let me touch on this idea and get people to start thinking differently.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted. And whether it was playing devil's advocate or whatever, I always felt like that was my part of the show. Like I would chime in with something goofy, but then I would try to bring up a poignant point and then we could like reshift the discussion from there. And what was great is there was this, it was almost like a rainbow spectrum. Like, so we had me on this extreme, and like you said, Brian was kind of near me, but a little more towards the middle. And then Imran, who's, we always joked he was tough but fair. We always called him tough but fair because he was like, he would call shit out, man, but he was right. He was. Like, but he's still right. Like, he does his, he's doing his freelance stuff. He's writing for Playboy. Mm-hmm. He's doing all sorts of, like, dude's good. Hell of a writer. And I always love to read his stuff because I know that he put effort into this. Like, he knows what he's talking about. I'm a big fan of his, and that's why we brought him on, because I saw his early stuff and I was like, oh shit, this kid's got it. Like, you know, this guy's on fire. Let's get him on here. And yeah, kind of the work speaks for itself. And then on the other side, yeah, you had Mark, who, what I liked so much about working with him is he was old man yells at cloud. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was like, back in my day during the Sega Genesis. Yeah. And I loved it. I was like, we need that. Like, he was definitely one of my favorites because, you know, when you go into a comic book store and there's the one guy in there that, like, you know, he knows his shit and he's been around the block a few times and, like, you're going to, oh, what do you think about this, sir? And he's like, that's crap. You want to read this? And like, what his recommendation is awesome. Like, you end up reading it and you're like, this guy's a genius. Like, oh my God, this is everything I ever wanted. But like, whenever you first hear it, it rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I know I felt times where I was like, I want to say something, but I'm like, you know what? No, it's all different opinions. Like, I just got to accept that they're just different opinions, man.
Right.
I was like, oh man, Mark, why do I not agree with Mark all the time?
It's so good. And that's what made
me
this.
As the listener too, I was like, man, what's going on? But like, yeah, Mark is unique that way. And then, Matt too. And like, you know, Big Dave was there at the end, but I like Big Dave. You know?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, just quality cast all the way around. And and the great thing was where it really started shining was the Game of the Year. Game of the Year. Yeah, I always looked so forward to those because I knew I was at least pissing one person off. I knew because I came in swinging, and I sort of feel bad about the latest. And what was this, like 2 or 3 years ago that we did it? The latest one, whenever Undertale came out.
Right. Undertale.
Dude, I shit all over that game. And you know what? Looking back on it, I was probably a little too harsh on it because it's a very good game. It has a lot of great qualities, but like. Mm. They wanted it to win Game of the Year. And I think on the podcast, I literally like, said, nope. I said, over my fucking dead body is under. Yeah, no, never, never. And then we had this big debate and God, what was the example that I said? Cause I knew I was being a shitbag too. As I was saying it, I knew I was just being shitty.
You're playing a heel. Yeah. You're playing a heel.
Oh, I was healing it up on that. Yeah. And it was only about Undertale too. I just wanted to sandbag it because I was like, it can be on the list. Totally. I'm A-okay with that because it deserves to be on this list. It's doing a lot of things right. It's a harken back to Earthbound. The music is truly unbelievable. It was definitely the best soundtrack of that year. No question. But it was so like wink and nod and the way the humor was like, do you get it? Do you get it? did you see what I did there? Like that whole, it's 8 hours of that. And I'm like, get me out of here. Like, fucking, just end it. Just, I don't need this. But that's sort of what I did. And I kept interrupting people. I was like, it was so good. Because I was on a tear, man. I was like, I made a joke. And then they'd start talking. And I was like, do you get it? Did you hear my joke? Did you hear my joke? Oh, it's so annoying. And I know what was. And I got heat for that. Like, a bunch of comments was like, who is that guy that fucking kept talking during the Undertale thing.
Oh man.
But I had to make my point known, and that was the only way to get through was to actually make, and I could tell, man, the rest of the cast, they were angry. Like they were Skyping me. They were like, fucking stop. They were like, stop it.
Yeah.
You're torpedoing this.
Oh dude, that's funny.
Oh, it's just it's super goofy stories. Like that's kind of what I miss about it. Is
you're playing like you're like the Corey Graves.
Oh, I was so bad, dude. I was. And like, I do apologize about it, sort of, but I do think it's kind of hilarious. Right.
Well, it is hilarious. It's amazing that you, like, in that, during that time, you know, they're discussing it and, you know, like, almost as if, like, you had that power to, like, they all want this to be game of the year.
Yeah.
But you don't, and you're stopping them. Stopping it from, like, being fully game of the year for Nitro Beard. And it's like, that's amazing. Like, not to, like, kiss your ass, but, like, the fact that it was what, like, who voted for, who voted for it to be game of the year? It was like, is it everybody except you, or just, well, like,
it was, I think it was everybody but myself and Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Seriously, I think the other five, four cast members, all of them were like Undertale. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And it was too. And it was funny because it was kind of like that one I actually steamrolled, but it was, because what I didn't want to happen was, because the very first year we did Game of the Year at Nitro Beard, we picked, it was a tie.
Oddly
enough, it was Bayonetta and Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Those were the two games. So it's funny we mentioned Mass Effect 2 earlier. But Brian and I were very, very, very hell-bent on Mass Effect 2 winning. We're like, guys, this game's something special. And then Mark and Imran were like Bayonetta. And looking back on it now, you know, hindsight's 20/20, we were both right. Both sides were correct. Because Bayonetta is considered a classic. Like, maybe the best character action game that's ever existed ever.
Yeah.
And then Mass Effect 2 is like one of those pinnacle experiences that turn the tides of how video games were experienced. So it's like, we were both right. So I can't be mad that we had a tie for game of the year on two of the greatest video games ever made. It's like, all right, sure. You know, I'm proud of that type of stuff. But yeah, it goes back to the reviews thing. It's like, I think you need those differing opinions. You need to hear it from all sides.
Yeah. And as long as it's not just one person and they just can't stand that game, series, genre, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand that one, that type of review.
Because you're setting it up to fail. Like, you're just setting it up to not get a good, fair shake.
But at the same time, I hear myself say that and then I think like, oh, but then again, I sound like I'm the commenter that's like, what are you talking about? You need to be fair and objective. You know, at the same time, so like, I guess that's just the personal preference for me as reviewers, because I don't listen to reviewers anyway. At least on games, I really like look forward to like either look forward to getting or like I'm really into, like, you know, Street Fighter. Everybody was bagging on Street Fighter. I was like, I don't care, dude. I'm in it because I'm part of the fighting game community. Yada yada.
Yeah, whatever. You're a lifer. Yeah. That's your gig.
So, like, I'm gonna take the blows and like we'll chug along and then see that everybody's gonna watch Street Fighter V and Evo and but yet still complain that it's not the greatest fighting game, whatever. But like I'm still in it. So.
Sure, absolutely. And I think there's actual honor in that, because who's to say that Street Fighter V, after the next four or five updates and character things that they do, ends up being the most well balanced fighting game ever made. You know, and like now people are going to be like, well, I guess I'm going to try it now. But you've been there since the beginning. And you're like, yeah, I went through that whole journey. I completely agree with it. You find your thing and you stick to it. And
yeah, but at the same time, I'm not that type of guy. It's like, you know, the guy that gets in like later on, it's like, oh, but you're just a Fairweather fan. You weren't in it in the beginning.
Right.
No, dude, just welcome everybody. Welcome everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great game. As long as you're aware, like, yeah, there's things wrong with it, but as long as you, the other person is willing to like overlook that or what, but, because like I've gone into debates with like other people that I used to listen to and stuff and like talking about Street Fighter 4 when they were doing the different expansion game, like they weren't willing to get past Street Fighter 4 for Super Street Fighter because, you know, because it was the whole championship edition formula thing they were doing. Like, but like they did that in the past. So what's the problem with Street Fighter 4?
Yeah.
And like they, but because they were so like set in that way that they weren't willing to buy another, like, it's a, you know, a cheaper game, like $20 just to get the expansion part of it. But they weren't willing to pay some, like more just to be up to date.
Gotcha.
The whole championship formula.
Sure.
Like, come on, like, something's got to give. Otherwise, you're just going to stay at Street Fighter 4 where everybody else is
playing more Ultra.
Up to date.
Yeah. And that's true. And I mean, at a certain level, you just got to, you know, shit or get off the toilet. It's like, you gotta make up your mind. You gotta, like, are you in it or are you not? Like, and it's fine if you don't want to join that rodeo. And then, you know, it gets down a weird road of like day one DLC.
Mm-hmm.
So with Street Fighter, the way it's different is it's like, no, a year out, now they do this massive update. They call it something, Super Street Fighter 4. And then 8 months later, they do a few more refinements, and then they re-release it at a smaller price and a smaller upgrade fee for Ultra.
Smaller price.
So these are I think of them more as expansion packs than
I do too. Yeah.
Like a DLC. So, but what gets on my nerves, dude, is DLC day one, where they're like, oh, well, be sure you buy this, and day one DLC get access to, you know. Yeah, okay, imagine if Street Fighter came out.
A character or something, or...
Yeah, on day one, and you still have to pay extra for it. You're like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, get out of here.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was unfortunately a victim of that.
Yeah. Speaking of, I gotta get that on Steam. It's on...
Yeah,
they released it, the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
So I gotta get on that and... Maybe make a video or something. Show all the crazy, because it apparently runs really well, like 1080p, 60 frames a second. Like, so that
as
would
long
be
as the net code is good for that. That, I mean, but then again, like I'm pretty sure you're not going to be fighting other people unless you want to go that route.
Yeah,
but you know, just make a video, then that's fine.
It's so weird. I guess and this even ties back to the beginning of the episode. We talk about like what the goals are and stuff. Even with like fighting games, like I would be way more interested. And like you and I being like competitors against each other rather than I'm going to try and go online and try to rank up on the ladder or something. Like that doesn't interest me as much because I don't care if I'm super good against the world. I care that I'm competitive against my friends because then it makes it more fun. To me, like I feel like we would have way better time learning each other's tactics and then playing mind games with each other instead of, well, here's some guy from, you know, Wisconsin and he's ranked number one in the world and I'm ranked number 500 million in the world. And oh, I wonder how this is going to go. You know, he obliterates me. I don't learn anything. Like I'm not having a good time. Yeah. Like, that's why I got out of StarCraft, because I got to a certain level. I got to, like, rank silver, and I was like, I'm getting better, I'm getting better. And then the game started putting me against platinums and diamonds, and, like, once you start getting to diamond, the next step up is master. So I'm playing against, essentially, diamonds and masters as a silver, and I was like, I don't even know. Like, they're playing such a different level. It's like they're playing a different game that I can't learn from that. I don't know what happened. Like, I just got decimated in 3 minutes. Like, how do I go against that? Here's a guy that has 4,000 ranked games played, and I'm on game 7. You know, like, I'm not going to, there's no way I'm winning.
That's where you got to determine where your commitment is. Is it like actually be the best in the world or actually go to the tournament and try to, beat Filipino champ and infiltration and Justin Wong and all those people, or just you want to be the king of your basement and just beat your friends.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And I find that way more rewarding. Just being, you know, in your crew of people of 6 to 7 people, you're the guy. Yeah. Like then if someone beats you consistently, now they're the guy. And now there's this it's all, you know, wrestling storylines. It's like now there's a new top of the heap. Now there's a new champ. Now I got to take the champ out.
Now it's Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Now it's all Southpaw Regional is what it is. That's what we're going to have. Southpaw Regional.
Oh man.
Oh, but that is good times.
Did you check Netflix today?
Lucha Underground.
Because Lucha Underground just came out.
Lucha
today.
Underground.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they're posting that up. They also put up a completely random side note: Mystery Science Theater 3000, which.
Yeah, they did.
If you haven't watched, and this goes out to everybody and you, Marco, if you have not watched Mystery Science Theater 3000, you have to. It doesn't matter which one, you just have to watch it. So what that show is a guy and two robots watch old shitty movies. And they make fun of it as they're watching it. So the whole idea of like, funny YouTube videos of like, oh, you know, let's say a PewDiePie.
Oh, let's watch.
Or yeah, or like a Let's Watch or something. That was literally invented by Mystery Science Theater 3000. They were doing this in the late 80s on public access TV and into the early 90s. And they are genius. They're all improv comedians. They're stand-up guys. Mm-hmm. Freaking hysterical. Like, And the thing that makes it so rewarding is you have to be paying attention, because they will do some of the smallest nuanced, like they will drop all sorts of random references that some of them you may not get because it's about everything. And I'm talking, they'll make like Spanish-American war references and you're like, wait, what the fuck? But, you know, and this is all across the world. They're making so many references and they're going at such a fast pace that you're going to find some stuff. Like, that's really one of the only shows that I've watched to where I was watching it and I was laughing so hard I was crying.
Nice.
And they'll do ones of like the old 1950s, like safety and you, and like the weird music playing like, boop, 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 be sure to wear your bike helmet, Jimmy. Like those videos, they riff on all of those and it, oh, it's genius. So good. Such a good series. But going back to Lucha Underground, how many seasons did they add of Lucha?
So right now they have seasons 1 and 2 on Netflix. And then like right now, they're on season 3, but it's not out yet. So
gotcha.
Expect that after, I mean, if you super binge it, then, you know, you're going to wait a little bit before season 3 comes out.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have seasons 1 and 2. A good binge.
That's a good binge right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hour long per episode, I believe.
And I love the way it's shot. I like the way that it's like a, it's almost like a Mexican Fight Club is, you know.
Yeah, dude.
Like the ring has that slight worn look to it.
Yeah.
Like tons of money in the production value. But it has that like underground, these people are coming to see like a cage fight sort of feel. Like whenever you're watching,
they don't call them wrestlers.
Yeah.
They call them fighters.
Yeah. So it's like blood sport.
Yeah. And like I told you before, characters do die. So
God, so silly.
So, you know,
so good.
Almost to the extent of like what Kota Ibushi did like this past weekend.
Oh my
God. The
whole
fireworks thing on his chest. So, kind of like that.
Gee, that guy's out of his mind. And
he's out of his mind, actually.
Yeah, he's legit. And he
may be the Japanese New Jack. He may be turning into that.
I think so. He's slowly going crazy.
He's slowly going there.
Yeah, like we see him before and he did the goofy, you know, apartment wrestling thing.
Apartment battle, yeah.
Yeah, he did that. And then, you know, he's doing stuff. Yeah, with go-karts and then like a forklift and stuff. But now he's shooting himself with fireworks and then doing a moonsault. Like the moonsault made me laugh more than anything, because it's like, where do you go? After you shot yourself with a bottle rocket, right, then you just do a backflip off the cart. Like you can't, your climax was the firework. Like you can't do anything else. But then he's whee!
Yeah, I believe that clip got on like a Comedy Central game show. It was like, you know, it was because it was like a multiple choice. Like, which one is this? It's like, is it like a fireworks gone wrong? Is it a wrestling thing that a guy using fireworks or something else? But yeah, like it's getting pretty viral. I was going to say something. Oh, and there was a tweet. It wasn't about Ibushi, but it was like a picture because there was a car that like somebody actually drove into the wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I think the tweet was like, it's probably not a good idea to try to clothesline a car because there was like a guy on the side of the driver's side with his arm out on the dash, like the dashboard or something.
Oh, that's crazy.
He's looking like he's trying to clothesline a car. But dude,
so apparently
Señor Lariato is he's on it right now.
So apparently on that same line, I can't remember what wrestling federation it is, but they have their own version of a 24/7, kind of like the DDT Pro heavy metal weight type thing. They call it like the 24/7 always on title or something. So An internet forum is now the champion. Like, so what happened is a wrestler joined the Reddit for this thing, like for this promotion, and posted that I'm sitting here with a referee, and then he types 1, 2, 3 that the referee counted, and then he put up a picture of the referee counting to 3. So now the internet forum is the champion, and Joey Ryan has to wrestle the internet forum.
Oh, jeez.
So I don't know how they're going to do this. I think what they're going to do is they're literally going to put a table in the ring with a computer, and then Joey Ryan is going to come and like wrestle a computer, which would be the greatest. Oh, it'd be so good.
Oh man.
But yeah, just like that type of really dumb wrestling and like the Southpaw news, Southpaw regional, like I'm all in it, man. Cause I've made amends of knowing that, WrestleMania, it has a pretty good card so far, but WrestleMania is always the show that it's the big pomp and circumstance show. So not a lot really happens at WrestleMania anymore. It's more of the, hey, we know people from USA Today will be here, so let's get all of the musical acts and let's get, let's make it the big festival. I guess, now it's a festival. Now WrestleMania is a festival. Instead of just here's a 3-hour long pay-per-view, now the freaking pay-per-view 7 hours long.
A full week.
Which is cool. I mean, I'm down with that. But I realize that it's
Coachella or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. You're South by Southwest. And it's...
Yeah.
So it's... but that's what it is now. It's bigger than just a wrestling show. So yeah, you're going to see some cool stuff and some good spots and some good wrestling even, but it's not going to be for us. It's not going to be the same type of show that like the NXT TakeOver for WrestleMania is going to be where you see that hardcore, super athletic, like WrestleMania is more about the show while NXT side's more about the wrestling.
Isn't that what Todd said, on the last episode, that WrestleMania starts and ends with NXT?
Yeah, that for him it does. Yes, and he's absolutely right. And now we know that main event's going to be Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke again.
They're going to have a takeover, and then they're going to have something at the tail end or at the end of the WrestleMania week. Is that what's going on?
I think so. Well, usually they have, because WrestleMania is Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think they have the NXT just like before any other big pay per view. I think they have it Saturday night. That's when
they're going to do like tapings.
Yeah, they do tapings leading up to it, I think. And then they show some of those, like that Wednesday isn't a live NXT. It's a pre-taped because they're going to be there for WrestleMania week.
They're all going to be there.
Yes. So basically, I think that NXT TakeOver on Saturday will be live. Pretty sure that's how it's going to work. So, but I'm excited that I was able to essentially see the, that main event of the NXT TakeOver, but I was able to see it before. You know what I mean? Like, God, that was a good match. Holy shit. Like, I still think about it. I'm like, God, that freaking pay-per-view was awesome.
I'm watching it now when I can at work.
Yeah.
I'm watching San Antonio.
Dude, that freaking Roderick Strong, Andrade Almas.
That's the match I'm on right now.
Dude, so good. Like, and if you hear someone like screaming during it, it's me, and I'm up in the very like top area. I'm trying to listen. Like, this is amazing.
But everybody's saying 10, so like that's all I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah. Oh god, he was so over. Like, Yeah. Ty Dillinger, I'm telling you, that room was rumbling with how many people were going for crazy. Ty, for him.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, that whole show is amazing. Oh, but I think that might do it. That might do it for the old brother and around. I don't even know what episode this is. Is this episode 20?
We're back. I believe 20.
20? Big 2-0? Yeah, we're back.
So.
We're almost drinking age. That's good. So, but yeah, I think that's our time for this week. But welcome back, sir. Welcome back, Mr.
Dude. Thank
Marco
you.
Flores.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're glad to be back.
Back with higher energy.
Yeah.
Next week.
Right. Hopefully me too. I literally fell asleep after I ate dinner this evening.
Oh.
But you know what I mean? Like I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like spring break just knocked me all out of whack. But anyway,
that's our
time. For this week, we thank you so much for joining us. And hey, be sure to hit up Marco on Twitter, twitter.com/MarcoPolo177. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/ComedyHobo. Also, go check out Nerd in the Bay, twitter.com/Nerd in the Bay. And also, what is it, youtube.com/Nerd in the Bay?
Yes.
For that YouTube channel, action right there, some good stuff. And if you go follow Marco on Twitter, you're going to see a little thing about a poll that he just ran. About what video he's going to make. We won't give it away here on the show.
Or should I make a video or should I just talk on the podcast? Video is winning right now.
Video is winning. So go vote.
I think I have to actually make points of how I want to talk about this thing. So
gotcha. So yes, yeah, so go check out his Twitter. That way you can get a sneak peek at what's coming on at Nerd in the Bay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's our time. Yeah.
I got to get to work.
But that's our time.
I'm lined up right now.
Oh man. Yeah, man. But, good stuff. We will see you guys next week here on Brother Around.
These guys. Watch Power Rangers on Twitch.
Power Rangers!